City. Welcome to A Biblical Response. In this hour, we invite you to take a journey with us to the heart of some of the hot-button issues of our day. What is behind these issues? How are Christians supposed to respond to them? Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." So join us now as we bring God's word to bear on the narratives and the news that threaten our peace and cast darkness on our land. And welcome to A Biblical Response. And in a moment, you'll find out what we're responding to through the lens of the Bible. But first, yes. I have to introduce my wonderful co-host, this great team that God has assembled. And it truly is a work of the Lord. I think we'll all agree to that.
Amen.
And so having said that, and that amen comes from Keith Masters, appreciate you being here, bro.
Good morning, Brother David. How are you?
Man, I'm great. Just had a donut and life is wonderful.
I'm grateful to be here. And I got a few good mornings this morning to our brother Craig and his family for Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving, Craig.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, to his son Neil. To my son's friends, Victoria and Avery, if they're listening, I'd like to say good morning and hello to them.
Cool.
For a happy Thanksgiving. Beautiful girls, beautiful girls. And my family, who's on the road right now, bringing my mother-in-law back to the house for Thanksgiving.
In Lakeland,
so,
right?
Yeah, from Lakeland.
Yeah.
But they're in range. They were already at, the Cornerstone over there.
Cornerstone?
From the Turnpike.
Yeehaw Junction.
Thank you. Yeah, they were already at Yeehaw Junction.
Yeah.
I had to turn around at that place several times coming home from here.
Yeah.
I don't even know where that is. That's
Yeehaw
on the
turnpike.
You have to tell me later on the break. Turnpike.
So they're already past Yeehaw Junction, back down, coming south on the turnpike. So, yeah, good morning to my wife, Deanna, and my mother-in-law, and my son. So,
cool.
Yeah.
Safe journey.
Amen.
Are you solo then, Keith?
What's that?
Are you solo in the home?
I have been, for the past few days.
He's got dogs. You're not really solo.
Oh, that is true.
It's been a busy couple of days. Yes, it has been.
Yep. Well, cool. I know it'll be a great Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
We're going to Lakeland, actually. God's economy, right?
Yeah.
Your mother-in-law's coming here. We're going to be going to Lakeland for Thanksgiving.
Oh, okay. Oh, really?
So we have family there.
Wow.
My wife does.
That is a growing, growing town.
Mm-hmm.
Well, since Disney, back in 72, 73, whatever, it really started then, it was like almost, we were living there at that time.
Wow.
And it was like an immediate boon, you know.
Right.
It's a blessing and a curse, but we won't go into that because that's not the focus
okay.
of our program, maybe one day. But to say, yeah, everything kind of almost overnight just grew.
I know. They put the new hospital in there.
Yeah.
Tiger Stadium for their preseason is over there.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of activity going on over there.
Oh, man, you bet.
Yeah.
Well, and Stephanie, we're going to go to you last. That's right. Because we have a special plan for Stephanie this morning.
Oh, dear.
But Ann Limhoko, you're...
Good morning.
Good to be here with you.
Since you're speaking of your family on the road, my parents are in St. Augustine now on their way to Kentucky because my sister and her family are there.
So what is the time travel on that trip?
Gosh, like he's doing 8 hours today and probably 4 to 5 tomorrow.
Okay.
Yeah, right. So. You could do it in one day, but why?
Okay.
No.
No?
You not at their age anymore.
That's what I'm saying.
So they're stopping in Macon, Georgia.
Oh, okay.
Got
great
a hotel
place
in Macon.
To stop.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, great place if you want
I got to stopped shop. In. I got stopped in Georgia.
That's the same thing, Keith.
Hey, so did I. We should start a club. It wasn't my idea, by the way.
Mine neither.
Oh, you guys.
Oh, my.
I'm glad Stephanie's here to balance the men that we have in the studio today.
We're going to shift to a more serious note. Stephanie I'm introducing her last because she has so an important prayer or some that we want to ask you to join us in. But I will say first, welcome, Stephanie.
Thank you.
Always good to work with you.
I have my own Georgia story, but, you know, we won't go into that today. But my family from down here is in Kansas City, so I am watching my 90-year-old father for these 2 weeks. And
He's in the studio with us right now.
He's right here with us.
Hi, Papa. He's waving from the corner chair.
He's a wonderful guy.
And he's enjoying a donut.
That is all, and a cup of coffee that David so lovingly always gives us. Yes. So thank you for that, guys. We want to start today by remembering some recent fallen heroes. Excuse me if I get choked up about this, because I've been looking at this over the last 24 hours, and there's a lot that is wrapped up in this particular part of our show. But the recent fallen heroes of our Treasure Coast community. Last Friday, the 21st of November, in Vero Beach, Indian River County, three deputies and a locksmith responded to a home where they were assigned to serve an eviction notice to a young man who was living in the residence. They were met with gunfire by someone inside the home. One of the deputies, Terry Sweeney Mashkow, was fatally shot during the eviction. The locksmith, David Long, was shot and taken to a nearby hospital where he died on Sunday from his gunshot wound. Another deputy was shot in the shoulder and is recovering from his wounds, and we do wish him well. The alleged shooter died as well. As we remember Deputy Terry Sweeney Mashkow today, she was posthumously promoted to sergeant. Sergeant Mashkow was remembered as a sweet and loving person who would do anything for you. She was a devoted mother, wife, and friend, and she loved her dogs. She faithfully served her community for 25 years, and she's remembered with much love and fondness from her fellow law enforcement officers. One of her friends who was at the memorial stated this about Sergeant Mashkow. She was downright the most amazing person you could find. She'd do anything for you. She'd give you the shirt off her back. And she sounds like a very wonderful person, doesn't she? Yeah. The 76-year-old locksmith, David Long, who was called to the scene, was remembered by one of his patrons as one who, quote, had a heart of gold and always had a smile on his face. This business owner said that David would, quote, tell a joke to get things started, and his work was superb. David, I thought about you when I was thinking about him. Well, not only that, but because this man, he liked to joke around and liked to be quirky and have words that were fun, and that reminded me of you. So my heart was just like really, really thinking about this man and his family.
Yeah.
As memories are being heralded on different websites of these two individuals who were killed in the line of duty, we too want to offer our condolences to their family and friends who lost these loved ones. And we want to thank you for your service and your sacrifice. As we know, when there is a death, there is grief, no matter who or how they were lost. So today we also want to give our condolences to the family of the alleged shooter. Grief does not choose its victims. It just responds to the loss. The Lord gave that to me this morning.
That's beautiful, really. Stephanie.
I was touched to the core of my being when I was sitting here writing this morning, because I wanted to wait to the last minute because I'd been looking at it. I needed to calm down overnight.
Yeah.
And when I sat there, that was something the Lord gave me this morning. And I thought, wow, that's profound, Lord, because it sure as heck didn't come from me. But as Christians, we do turn to the scriptures. And
can you say that one more time?
Certainly. Grief does not choose its victims. It just responds to the loss. We have to set in our grief at times.
Yes.
It's not something that we should gloss over, because it doesn't matter how the loss happens.
Yeah.
I deal with death on a daily basis with abortion. I know everybody knows my story. You cannot imagine how many people, even though they've done bad things and they've done hard things, there's a lot of loss, and loss brings grief.
Yeah.
So
for sure.
I turned to the scriptures this morning after I got to writing things down. And John 15:13, it's the truest and highest form of love. And it's talking about self-sacrifice. I don't even have that written down here. John, Would you turn to that for me? John 15:13. Another verse of scripture that I also chose was 1 John 3:16. Now this is 1 John. This isn't John. This
right.
is 1 John.
1 John.
Yours is John. Mine is 1 John.
Okay.
By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. Mm-hmm. Isn't that amazing that John 3:16 is the one that we all know? Yeah. About Jesus laying his life down. And 1 John 3:16 is mm-hmm. also talking about that. Mm-hmm. I thought, did John think about that when he was writing these scriptures? So anyway, what does that scripture say?
I'm going to John 13.
John 15:13.
Oh, John 15:13. Here we go. And that reads, let me see. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends.
Mm-hmm. That is what these officers do when they go out every single solitary day, law officers, law enforcement. One of the things that really caught me hard too was there was a webpage called Officer Down Memorial Page.
Wow.
And I think it's a national page because there were people from all over that were giving, and most of it is people, law officers, law mm-hmm. enforcement officers that are adding to this page. And a deputy sheriff, Jay Estes, wrote this. You know, when you hear someone, he was speaking to the law officers, so law enforcement officers. So I think this is important for us to hear as individuals. You know, when you hear someone use the words, quote unquote, routine call, they simply do not understand. Don't be upset when you hear it. Instead, educate them that there's no such thing in law enforcement. Also, it may not always feel like it, but a lot more of the community you serve cares about you. Oh, my mm-hmm. gosh, that got me.
Wow. Yeah, yeah.
Wow. I want to just say to all, I know some law enforcement officers mm-hmm. here in the Treasure Coast and even further down, and I just want to say thank you. Thank you for your service. Mm-hmm. Thank you for your commitment. And if we can, I'm going to just say a prayer today over the family members and get us going to the next part of our program. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for the life in general.
Yes.
We have no way of giving you all the praise and glory for life itself, Father. But we know, Father, that it's precious, but it's also very fragile. And so, Lord, we just thank you today for these that responded on Friday, Lord, those that were troubled on Friday. Father, we just thank you that you were there even in the midst of mm-hmm. that yes. turmoil. Lord, you are always present, ever present. And we thank you for this, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the memories that these family members will have. And I know some of them will be hard, but Lord, we ask you to be with them through this time. We pray for peace and comfort in the midst of their grief. Lord, no matter how the loss happened, we just ask you to be there.
Yes,
and be just Holy Spirit, touch their lives. Father, we pray that you would be the center of all of these celebrations of life. Father, that your name would be glorified and be lifted up. That you said that you would draw all men to you if we lift you up. So I ask, Father, that you be lifted yes. up, no matter what is said or who is there, Father, that would be one of the main focal points, that you would be lifted up. We thank you for these lives. We thank you, and we don't ever want to be remiss of remembering them in the line of duty. Even the locksmith, Father, was in the line of duty in that day.
Yeah. Yes.
So we thank you, Father, for all of them. We just ask this all in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank yeah. you, Stephanie.
My wife's stepdad was a Suffolk County officer up north in New York.
Hmm.
So he did, I think, 25 years until he retired.
That's a long time.
Yeah.
And she had 25 years under her belt as well.
Yeah.
And
wow.
What brought my attention wow. to all of this was I was on the highway and stopped on the highway, and there were over 200 vehicles, law enforcement vehicles, that were going south on I-95, and it was a sight to see. There were mm-hmm. helicopters. Mm-hmm. There were, I mean, their lights were blazing, and it was
yeah.
nighttime, and I didn't yeah. know what had happened. So I was kind of freaked out about it because they were going mm-hmm. south. I didn't know where they were going.
Yeah.
But they were going to honor her, and it was pretty
pretty eye-opening. Yeah.
And this one, and I appreciate Stephanie, you put so
Stephanie,
much of your heart
wonderful.
Into that.
Stephanie, that was
wonderful.
That was so wonderful.
From the Lord. It was interesting.
What I need to say is that what you did was not only of the Lord, but it gives us a tremendous foundation to work the rest of the program on, because if you'll notice, listener, when Stephanie was sharing this and moved into the prayer, that a natural response to lives that have been so special given for the lives of others, really, mm-hmm. that Thanksgiving is a part of that.
Amen.
And in my 40 years as a pastor, I've done a lot of funerals, and that when the time comes for the loved ones to share their stories and their mm-hmm. memories, Thanksgiving is always a part of that.
Mm.
Why we call it a celebration of life, at least I do, instead of a funeral.
Right.
Because it is a natural thing. So we're going to be talking about Thanksgiving today. That is in the news. Is it a hot button issue? Well, we'll find out. But I will tell you, and this is a clue, God did not allow Thanksgiving to be formed to benefit the turkey farmer. Okay,
it does,
just telling you.
But
well, no, and here's the thing, when people think of Thanksgiving in America, do we call it Thanksgiving or we call it Turkey Day?
Yeah.
Because we have focused not on the reason for it,
mm-hmm.
but a very concrete representation
mm-hmm.
that sits on our dining room table, most of us anyway, on Thanksgiving Day. But it's much more important than that.
Yeah.
I was going to give a little thumbnail sketch and get us started, throw some stuff out.
Yeah.
And then everybody's going to jump in and chew on it.
Yeah, I just wanted to
just
say,
like a Thanksgiving
David,
dinner.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, the reason why we brought that up, because it's very close to home here.
Mm-hmm.
And this happened in our neighborhood. For where the station is located. So we know that there's a lot of those situations going on around the world, and this broadcast does go on around the world. So the reason we just wanted to mention that this was something that was close to home over here.
Yeah,
so,
in Vero Beach, where Stephanie lives, too.
Yeah,
so
yeah, there were three actual standoffs this last week,
wow.
but only one that lost
See, we
lives.
Don't know what they what,
no
what
we
they
have no idea what they do when they go out, so thank you so much.
No, it's more dangerous now than it used to be.
Yeah,
no, I think that's true. Well, for Thanksgiving,
yes.
I was going to do a little thumbnail sketch, because this
have
is
at it, David, have at it.
Well, I did make some quick
he's
notes.
He's our resident researcher.
Quick notes. And do you think those are quick notes?
These, actually, I do have some bullet notes. Points, and then we're going to jump on it.
You got it.
Everybody missed early on because we all jumped in together, but I was going to say, describing this program today with all of you, I'm going to throw these out, and everybody's going to chew on them just like Thanksgiving dinner Thursday, anyway.
There you go.
But there are some things, because this is... Thanksgiving is a spiritual response to what God is doing.
Amen.
That's the heart of it.
Yeah.
And when in our nation, when twice now, George Washington and Abraham Lincoln, both during their terms, called the nation to give thanks to God for, in those seasons, God's deliverance and his blessing for the nation. Neither of those 2 days became a national holiday until... later on, I forget who, I don't have it in my notes, but somebody here knows which president or when it was made law that Thanksgiving Day, the fourth Thursday of November. But, which is all well and good, but before anything happened by any legislation or any president or any other national leader, Thanksgiving was established by God as a response that he calls us to give to his presence, his person, and his action in our lives and the lives of others. So it's a, what do we say? There's a couple of things. Thanksgiving is a form of worship. Scripture talks about that. Psalm 100, verse 4. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise.
Amen.
Give thanks to him. Bless his name. It's a form of worship. When we give thanks to God and scripture throughout, we're not going to inundate you with scripture. There's probably several hundred references to thanksgiving in scripture. And you can look them all up. We encourage you to do that. Thanksgiving is also a response to God's providence. It's a way to acknowledge his provision and his care for all things. Everything we have comes from God first.
Amen to that.
Yes.
You know, I get money from the government for Social Security, and I have a pension, and I get a little stuff for working here. But all that started with God.
Amen.
You know? and it's just being mediated through various sources.
We're stewards of
everything God has given us.
Yes.
So Thanksgiving is also a response to his providence. It's also an act of faith. It's a way to show our reliance on God, mm-hmm. who is the source of all good things. And finally, it's a continuous practice. You know, the way Scripture introduces us to Thanksgiving, it's a lifestyle. It's embedded in who we are in Christ. It is endemic to our relationship with God the Father, the whole Godhead, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. The intimacy we have with God should Thanksgiving from the heart, not from my mind. You know, it's from the heart.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, those are some general points. We'll be covering them again as we go throughout. And just listener to know, if you've been depending on a long break, two breaks, one of them very long, and this format change, warning, we're going to have one break at the bottom of the hour. And then we're going to, because then we have more to talk about than we need. We can't have two breaks. So anyway, Ann, I think we're going to go to you.
Can I say something before? Are you?
You just did. You want to say something?
Yes, before you go to Ann.
No, yeah.
One of the things that you were talking about was, you were talking about your, as you were saying it, I was formulating it in my mind, because you're saying go to the Scripture and read. So you're using your eyes.
Yeah,
you're using your brain. You're using your heart. Mm-hmm. It's infiltrating your whole body. And what does God say about what does praise do? He inhabits our praise.
Yes. Exactly right.
And if that's the case, then when we're praising him, we don't have time to argue or to be grumbling.
Or to complain.
Right, or be anxious.
Yeah.
It says to be anxious for nothing. Yeah. That's one of the scriptures. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. We can still let him know, or... You know, he already knows, but, you know, we can say it out loud.
But to respond, because it may be a heart posture, and we are thankful all in the inside, but we have to biblically respond and give thanks with our voices, with our, you know, like it's an expression of what's already inside of us.
Drawing nearer to God.
Yes.
Drawing nearer to God.
And when we do that, others will see it. You don't even have to say it.
Yep.
Yes.
For some reason, they just know it.
It's a testimony when we're being
and real Thanksgiving always generates action.
Absolutely.
On our part.
Thankful and grateful.
Amen.
David, I'm glad that you introduced it the way you did, because it's not about turkey and sweet potatoes.
No.
I mean, it's beautiful to gather around a table and sit with family members, but we have to know why this holiday was birthed.
Mm.
And can I get into the proclamations right now?
Or yeah, go ahead. More? No, we got...
So
7 minutes.
So the first Thanksgiving proclamation was actually penned by George Washington, our first president, 1789 in New York. This is even before the White House was actually built in the Commonwealth of Washington. But this is, listen to the words, because it's a little old English, but listen to how much the nation, it's, when I was reading this language yesterday, I was like, we've come so far away from our government acting like this and talking like this. Mm. We're going back to the Lord, okay? That's what we're saying. But back then, this is what George Washington said in 1789. Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey his will, to be grateful for his benefits, and humbly to implore his protection and favor. Isn't that beautiful?
Mm-hmm.
And then so he calls both houses of Congress to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts. This is so beautiful. The many signal favors of Almighty God, especially by affording them an opportunity peaceably to establish a form of government for their safety and happiness. So that was the first proclamation, David.
Mm-hmm.
That was on the 26th of November. But it was actually Abraham Dean who made it every fourth Thursday of the month. So that was the second one in 1863. So in 1863, what was our nation going through? Civil War. So Abraham Lincoln, on October 3rd of that year, after victories at Gettysburg, and that's where General Robert E. Lee was defeated, was forced to return to Virginia and Vicksburg, where the Union forces won. So because of the victories, President Abraham Lincoln wanted to thank the Lord for those victories. Isn't that beautiful?
Mm.
So anyway, this is what he says. therefore invite my fellow citizens in every part of the United States and also those that who are at sea and those who are sojourning in foreign lands to set apart and observe the last Thursday of November as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent, am I saying that right? Beneficent mm-hmm. Father who dwelleth mm-hmm. in the heavens.
Close enough.
Look at how those yeah. two presidents spoke about our mm-hmm. Almighty God. It just, yeah. when I was like, was going through the proclamations yesterday, and they're long. I'm not going to read all of it.
I was wondering how long they were, because those two words, whereas and therefore, are something came before that.
And they're so like, they're peppered like, through all that? The language, yeah. and it's like all you have to, yeah. you have to kind of
right.
interpret the old English.
I love it.
Yeah, and discern it.
It's a tough reading.
But the posture, the heart posture of these presidents is beautiful. And that is the origin of why we celebrate every year.
Mm-hmm. Amen. And so we need to get back to basics. That's what we're kind of doing right now. Maybe mm-hmm. that's where the hot button is for some people.
Yeah.
Struggle. You know, if your Thanksgiving dinner looks more like a negotiation between Russia and Ukraine for peace, I know that's going to be a problem. And well, that's sad. Many American tables, it's going to be more animosity than it is celebration.
I know.
You know, the churches sad. Were telling them, no, don't talk about politics at the dinner table.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know,
what is there?
What is the point? I mean, if you can't do that, what is the point?
Oh, my gosh.
Right? Yeah. Right?
And if your most earnest desire in Thanksgiving season is to wait for the president to pardon the turkey, that's another issue.
Mm-hmm.
But we're talking a much more depth. We're going back to the biblical foundations of Thanksgiving.
And you know what? In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you. Mm-hmm. So it is God's will for us to be thankful. It's his will. So I thought that was beautiful. And then we talked earlier about how God doesn't like mumbling and complaining, right, Keith? You had brought that up in yesterday's call.
I did. We were talking about that. Well, you know, we talk a lot about the journey that God has for us and how he guides our steps. And along those ways, not everything always comes, or not everything is always the way that it's supposed to be.
Yeah. True.
Right?
Yeah.
So we give thanks for everything in everything.
Yeah.
Not giving thanks for everything. God is not Santa Claus, right? So we give thanks yeah. in everything that we're going through.
Mm.
And I brought up my son's friends before, Avery and Victoria. And, you know, these are two girls who are 13 and 14 years old who have had some hardship in their life.
Mm.
And just to, you know, for them to keep their eyes on God and to be grateful in their life, even though that they've had the hardships that they've had.
Yeah.
And, you know, we brought them to church on Sunday and then we go out Aww. To breakfast after.
Mm.
They're just such, you know, beautiful girls at 13 and 14 years old. And, you know, for their hearts to be grateful, because sometimes when you're that age and it's difficult at that time to always understand, you know, then not to get mad at the Lord, you know, but in everything to be giving thanks, you know. So I just, my heart goes out to them during this time of the year,
mm.
you know, because life is a little different than for them than it is for us,
oh,
you know. And yeah. I'm sure, and we were just talking about the officer and the locksmith, their mm-hmm. life is different for this Thanksgiving yeah. than it is for us.
Yeah.
So, you know, even during those difficult times, to keep your eyes on the Lord.
And Thanksgiving doesn't diminish the loss,
Mm-mm.
You know, because we all have losses.
Right, right.
And it doesn't diminish or trivialize the losses we've had that we're still struggling with when we hear the call to be thankful.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, well,
you know, the one, and here's the thing, you know, how much does their life change? Is it going to change? Because Victoria is actually a very good artist, and she draws extremely well. She was so kind. She drew me a horse. I asked her to draw me a horse one day, mm-hmm. and she drew me a horse. I wanted to see the talent. The talent is just absolutely amazing.
Wow.
And Avery is a softball player, but mm-hmm. you know, Avery stopped playing softball and then Victoria, I don't know how much she draws. But these are things that the Lord has blessed these girls with, the talent
yeah. mm-hmm.
that the Lord has blessed these girls with. So you pray and you just hope that they keep their eyes on the talent that God has given them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what they do with it is to be grateful to the Lord, to be grateful to the Lord and yeah, to be saying thank you for the talent that you have blessed me with. Yeah.
Amen.
You
Amen.
Know?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So
Thanksgiving.
That's exactly right. Glorifying God in those times.
What? Yeah. I just my extra brain over here. And you have the heart of a producer. I just want you to know that. We are approaching a break time. Why don't we just go ahead? Is everyone cool if we take a break right now?
That'll be fine.
And it's going to be a minute and a half, folks, and then we'll be right back. Oh, and you can call. You may want to have a comment or a question about Thanksgiving, something we've talked about.
Maybe tell us what you're doing.
Yeah,
know what
how
you're
are you
doing
celebrating?
In brief, of course, but if you will.
Certainly.
But the number to call is 772-221-1100. That's 772-221-1100, and I'll repeat this when we come back from the break. Do you know what happens every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO Christian Radio? News and views to edify the body of Christ. Exciting authors, pastors, teachers, folks invested in richly blessed ministries where the church meets the world. God is doing things you want to hear about. That's Wednesday Live, airing every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Hi, this is Karen Hubbard, inviting you to join me every Friday at 11 a.m. for Hidden Places, where you'll hear exciting testimonies, amazing stories, and casual conversations with believers just like you, here on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Every Monday, we will bring you stories from the front line of ministry, ordinary people doing extraordinary things for God. We will redefine where the front line is, from risky missions to comfortable caring, always with the invitation for you, the listener, to look for the front line in your life. Tune in to 89.9 FM every Monday at 11 a.m. Get on the front line. The Treasure Coast Christian Alliance is a growing association of leaders from the business, civic, and ministry areas on the Treasure Coast of Florida. In these blessed communities, we reside, work, play, and pray together. Our mission is to encourage strong relationships among God's people through Holy Spirit-anointed fellowship. Leaders inspired to overcome barriers to Christian unity bring God's people together on the common ground of the gospel. For more information, visit us online at tccalliance.com or reach us at 772-324-9313.
And welcome back. Welcome back. Man, I'm excited. I've been enjoying this program, and we're doing a deep dive into Thanksgiving, and we're covering a lot of ground. But more, if we had 2 hours... And we don't.
We would probably cover
more
the
ground.
Full 2 hours.
And we'd invite you to call if you have a question or a comment. 772-221-1100 is the number. 772-221-1100. And I'm going to throw the ball back to Ann, who has some points she wants to make.
I just caught the ball.
You
Thank
caught
you.
It. Good
Thank
for you.
You, David. So I just want to say again, 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18, I think is probably the verse that's guiding today's show. Verses, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And it says all circumstances, right? And that means circumstances that are hard.
Yeah.
So when we have that posture of gratitude, it reshapes the way that we see our circumstances. And I have a testimony, and I'm going to kick it to you, David, because I know that you do as well. But we all go through circumstances that are sometimes not fun.
Yeah.
And recently I've began substitute teaching in the St. Lucie County Public Schools. Was it something that I desired to do? Absolutely not.
Yeah. Oh,
especially when I'm with middle school kids. But I know the Lord told me to do it. And he kept opening the door, and I'm like, oh, no, I want to go this direction. I want to get a job here. And those doors closed. So I'm finding myself teaching in public schools maybe twice a week.
You know what's amazing about that, Ann, for a second?
Yeah.
Is that we were talking about what's going on in the public schools, right? Mm-hmm. We've been talking about how they're trying to take God out of the public schools. And now the Lord put you in there and you're getting a bullseye view of exactly what's going on.
It was going on in my mind, too, about her. Right? I was thinking, God, you're putting her right smack dab in the middle of
you are in the war
the
zone right there.
But
you
I was pouting. I'm not kidding. I was pouting. Oh, my God. I didn't desire to do this.
But
my degree is not in this.
Firsthand.
But the Holy Spirit convicted me. And my attitude towards substitute teaching went from complaining and grumbling, which we're not supposed to do when we're telling our audience, to thanking the Lord.
Right.
Because the Lord is opening and letting me see things. Like on Friday, I substitute taught last Friday at a middle school. I'm not going to say where. Mm-hmm. Elementary. It's a K-8, actually. And in the substitute plans, the teacher leaves plans for the substitute teacher. She told me to read during the reading portion a book on witches. And I'm like, no. I'm looking at the substitute plans and go, no, I'm not reading these to these second graders.
Yeah.
Second graders, Stephanie. Yeah, second graders. So I'm praying, like, Holy Spirit, what am I going to read? I'm in the room by myself because this is a break. They're at their resource. And I'm walking around the room. And there's a library in the back of the class. And there's a book on Thanksgiving and how the holiday started.
There you
so
go.
That's what I read.
Praise
but they're
God.
Like, they're like, but Miss Ann, that's not the book we read.
Oh.
And I'm like, that's the book that I want to read because I want to teach you guys about how Thanksgiving started. So the Lord has made me realize, be grateful that you're in the schools.
Yeah,
do not complain, even though it's not what I planned. The gratitude reshapes the way we look at circumstances. That's not dwell and complain, even though it's not something we may expect or that we want to do, but thank the Lord, because I'm grateful that the Lord is allowing me to see these things. I'm telling you guys so we could pray. I'm telling my family, because these kids, man, the enemy wants to go after our kids, and he's going after our kids.
He has been going after them for a long time.
So I'm grateful to be in St. Lucie County Public Schools.
Hallelujah.
and when you're grateful, you get to share the light within you turns on brighter.
Yeah.
If you're complaining and grumbling, the light dims.
It does.
You know, quite right. It the sense of it dims just a bit, right? So as we're joyful and we're giving thanks, the light brightens, right? And shines about us. Right, so that other people can see it, and that's how we change the lives.
There's one thing I also want to give glory to God, because I asked the kids what they're grateful for. One kid goes, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Wow.
And she's in second grade.
Wow.
And then
five
or six people followed. And then I'm like, who reads the Bible? Who goes to church in this class? I'm not supposed to talk like that.
Right.
But all these kids say, Miss Ann, I do.
Wow.
I bet the parents of those kids don't know that the teacher's reading a book that they probably don't approve of.
Probably
but anyway, please pray for our kids and our teachers who do not know.
You know, one of the things that as you're speaking, I was thinking about when Jesus gave thanks. And when did he he embodied Thanksgiving. I mean, that was his life was Thanksgiving, but there were three main times that he gave thanks. And I just wonder what was going on in his mind. I'm sure he's God and he had no bad thoughts, but he was tempted in all things, right? But it says that he gave thanks before multiplying the food for the 5,000 and then feeding the 4,000. He gave thanks before raising Lazarus, and he gave thanks at the Last Supper.
Right.
So there are three particular places that he actually opened his mouth and gave thanks and taught others how to give thanks. And then obviously, his life just embodied Thanksgiving. And that's, you know, we sit here on the radio and we talk about how our lives are this and our lives are that or other lives or whatever. But sometimes I don't want to say that I am a Christian. I just want people to see Christ. Does that make sense? It's not that I want to go out there and constantly.
Well, that's the goal.
The greatest testimony is the way we live our lives
that's
without
the journey,
labeling ourselves.
It
Christ.
Is.
Yeah, that's the journey.
And Jesus didn't go around saying, I am God,
they want
you know?
Who you are. That is
or
the
what's
journey.
In me.
Right. What is it? What is in you?
And sometimes I have to check what's in me because that's not what's.
Yeah, but that's
out.
The human. Don't beat yourself up for that. Do not
but it
beat
is.
Yourself
I'm not,
up.
But you I know? Have to recognize
that. That is the battle. That is the battle that we face each and every day. Right. Yeah. The mind. The battle is on in the mind. Right.
And it belongs to the Lord. Well, and if I would just lay it down and let him fight it for me instead.
Well, that's why he tests the heart. Right. It's about the heart. It's not. And he knows that the battle is in the mind. Hmm. So
that's why we got to be at our Bible to read.
You know,
our mind.
Right. In Exodus. And this is amazing. I just
can't
get off
this
of this. I can't get off of this.
Go for it, Keith.
The Holy Spirit is just keeping this on me.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. Moses is bringing the Israelites out of Egypt. Right. They've been crying and complaining for 400 years that no. Right.
They have.
Well,
under
400
the Egyptians.
Years. Right.
Yep. Yep.
And they want to get out of Egypt because of the abuse that the Egyptians are giving them.
Yeah.
He sends Moses. Moses is coming out. He takes them out of Egypt and they're going through the desert. And then all of a sudden, the Egyptians are coming back after them and they come up to the Red Sea.
Yeah.
They come to the Red Sea and they look and they say, Moses, what have you done to us? Right? You brought us here just to have us killed. We're going to go back and we're going to go be slaves in Egypt because fear was coming over them. They were complaining.
Yep.
They were arguing. And I love this response from God. Check this out. Right? Okay, so in 14:13, Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance of the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again." And, you know, that's not just for the Egyptians. That's for what's going on in people's lives.
Yes.
You know, if you're feeling afraid of anything, you know, that's what's going on in your life. Let God get rid of them. But this is an amazing story. So the Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still.
Mm.
So what does Moses do? Moses goes to the Lord. And this is what God said to Moses. In verse 15, then the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me?" This is what God is telling Moses. "What are you bothering me for?" Right? "What are you bothering me for? Tell the people to move forward." That's what's in the next verse. Tell the Israelites to move on. And what's in front of them? The ocean. Until they got to the ocean. Because now they're
you mean the Red Sea?
The Red Sea.
Okay.
They're standing back. They're looking at it. We can't go any further. But what did God say? "Don't bother me. Just tell them to go on." They got to get their feet wet. They got to get their feet right to the ocean, right to the cliffs of the ocean. Because if they didn't, then it's all by sight. They're looking at what God is going
to
do.
So it's faith to take
that moved
step.
Them up to the ocean. And then once they moved up to the ocean, then the ocean split. Then the ocean moved, but they had to go by faith all the way into the ocean. And that's when it happened.
Thank you for bringing that up. So what happened? Because
they were
how long was the journey? And then
the journey ended up being 40 years.
That was after on the other side.
Right?
But it was originally, what, 7-day journey
but
or
they
something?
Didn't have the faith because they didn't have the faith.
And they were complaining.
They were complaining.
Yeah,
even
grumbling.
Even after
murmuring.
They went through the Red Sea.
Yeah.
Even after they went through the Red Sea.
We could all be short-sighted at times, you know?
We can be, and we think that what we're going through is the worst thing that anybody's going through.
Actually, I think that's not remembering, not short-sighted, but it's not remember. The Israelites forgot to remember
Stephanie.
What God had done for them.
And
so.
Then they were in the same clothes, and then it never wore out,
right.
They said. They didn't have shoes.
Right.
Yeah.
Not
did they
thing.
Thank the Lord? I feel like we're saying it in retrospect. It's easier. We're not,
they
we didn't
got
go
tired
through
of
it,
the
but.
Bread, right? They got tired of the manna that the Lord gave them, right? And then they cried out for some different food. Even though the Lord was supplying all their need, now they wanted something different. And what did the Lord do? He gave them fowl for a month till they got sick of the fowl.
Yeah,
right?
They were like, get rid of the quail.
Right?
But this teaches us in hardship, gratitude reminds us of God's presence.
Right, because in the end, you know, God's going to test our hearts. But in the end, the Lord, his love is just... It pursues, endures, right?
Yes.
It's all about the love of God that he has for each and every one of us.
And you know, even in Jesus' suffering, not to take it back to the New Testament, but we can go back and forth all day on
right.
that. But he even gave thanks in his suffering.
Right.
He taught that as
well.
So that was, you know, and it's interesting because Exodus is, I mean, that's a great book. It if anybody is. Wants to go back and read a book in the Old Testament, that is a great book to read. It's full of lots of exciting things. But we are just like those Israelites.
We are.
Mm-hmm. I am very short-minded a lot of times and short-sighted, but a lot, the memory is like, oh, yeah, you blessed me with that yesterday. Now I'm upset again today about the very same thing. But I have to every day die to myself mm-hmm. because, and, you know, I've been tried. I know, David, you were going to talk a little bit about your sister and, mm-hmm. and all.
Yeah.
I'll go ahead and say this about my dad. I love my father. He's 90 years old. And he's, like I said, he's with us here in the studio. Mm-hmm. And he and I, you know, he doesn't live with me. He lives with my brother and sister-in-law, and they do a beautiful job of taking care of him. And so I go and pick him up, and I get to do that. Well, they're gone for 2 weeks, and I'm by myself. Mm-hmm. And it's very difficult because you are – and it's difficult on him, too. I'm not saying I'm the only one that gets this difficulty. But he's slowing down, and he doesn't want to believe that, but he is, and so it's difficult. Yeah. And nothing stays the same. Everything changes, and as change happens, the only thing that stays the same – is God. And so where do we go back to get our relief? It mm-hmm. isn't from food. It isn't from the computer. It isn't from the television. Mm-hmm. It is from him. And that is the only place Amen. I find relief. Amen. It is the, and I believe Amen. Me,
true rest.
I've tried yeah, other places.
And, you know, right. He lifts things off of our shoulders.
He does. He carries that yoke.
It's absolutely
We put
amazing.
Our head in the other side of that yoke, and yet we don't feel the burden because he is the one carrying
and
it.
And where we're going through difficulty, we might be complaining. Keith mentioned this on the call yesterday. Like, we're complaining. But his ways are higher than our ways. You mentioned this yesterday as well. Mm-hmm. So even in the midst of all the troubling circumstances we may go in, Lord knows best. Mm-hmm. So let's thank him. Let's thank him. Let's thank him. You were going to talk about your sister, David,
really
quickly?
Yeah, I was just, well, as it, we're all testifying to, you know, a moment in our lives when God moved in a circumstance and we began to give him thanks. And before I tell the story, just what I've been thinking of is, you know, most of the times we have difficulty thinking about being thankful is when we're in discomfort.
That's
we're
true.
In a circumstance, our comfort zone.
Yeah.
We're outside of that.
Yeah.
Something has happened and suddenly, you know, we're dealing with what about this, what about that?
Yeah.
And I'm not happy about this. Life has changed. And so, all right, that's part of the journey. Like the Exodus, you know, they did eventually get to the point and it was several years down the road
right.
when they
right.
could
40.
Be more thankful. 40, maybe 38. I don't know. But the point is they then became the people that could take the land God had given them. But in the story I was going to share is in 2016, my sister had mitral valve replacement surgery. Mm. And while she was in the hospital, her husband got very sick and ultimately died.
Mm.
And so suddenly, you know, and that was... We had
while she was in the hospital, this
right.
happened.
Yeah, this is the first time.
It was
I've
during
heard this
the time because they after the surgery they had rehab. She was like 80 at
okay.
that point.
Okay.
So she was she's been bedridden for a while after the surgery. But point was is that we did not know my wife and I and other family members did not know she had been diagnosed with Alzheimer's perhaps a decade prior.
Oh.
But she and her husband were of the generation, they didn't talk about stuff like that.
Mm.
So suddenly, he's gone, she's still in the hospital doing rehab, and then all of this hits the fan and she can't go home. And so at that time, her stepson, she had three natural children and two stepsons and a stepdaughter. And at that time, her youngest stepson stood up and said, I'll take her, and he did. For 2 years, she lived with him. But then his circumstance changed, and he was no longer able to care for her. Now suddenly, this is 2 years, 2018, and in 2018, he said to the family, his wife had stage 4 lung cancer.
Oh,
he was
wow.
trying to run a business. They had a 6-year-old daughter.
Mm.
Suddenly, my sister became a problem. And I understand it. And to him, he did a great job, Herculean work. And so now it was on the family, mainly their three natural children, and myself, to take her. Who would take her? And unlike, you know, when God says in Isaiah, where God, Isaiah says, "Here am I, send me," none of her kids said that. And it became clear, even in our heart, that we're going to be, we need to take her home. So we arranged to do that. And at that time, I'd been working here 2 years at the radio station. Mm-hmm. And my wife had just retired herself. And was we were looking forward to doing some travel and doing some other things, you know. And suddenly, my sister moves in with us, takes the best room in the house. I mean, we gave her,
right.
For the sake of her care, I had to move into a room that had no bed. In fact, I lived on a camp bed on the porch for a while.
Thank goodness it's Florida.
But you see...
Look at the Thanksgiving.
Let me just tell you, these were items in the memory of my resentment. Mm. I'm pulling out these items from the memories of my resentment.
Okay.
Gotcha.
Because suddenly her whole life changed, and I was very angry at her kids. Because none of them stepped up. And they all had great excuses. None of them had anything with reality. So we also knew that my wife and I both, she worked in nursing homes. I was a hospice chaplain when I retired. So we all know about the dementia and it's declining, the things you have to do, the point where people really need all the help they can get. And we knew as caregivers, we'd have a certain point we'd have to do something with a nursing home. But I would tell you, I'm telling you now, I'm witnessing that I can't speak for my wife, but I personally was very angry during the first year or so of her coming to be with us. And then, and I can't remember exactly what prompted, I know it was the Holy Spirit. My wife and I were talking about the early days in my family, because my sister was almost 15 years older than me. And I was born, my mother was 40 and she had some health issues. So as soon as I was born, she had health care. She couldn't take care of me. Mm-hmm. I was farmed out to a sister up in New Hampshire, but my sister was also very much involved because she was at the age when many kids are taking care of other kids. So she cared for me.
Your sister, the one that you watched, cared for you when you were
when I was a baby.
She's now 15.
She cares.
Oh,
she cared for me.
She's taking care of
me. In the lore, you know, the stories that are told when a kid can't remember, but you know, other people do.
Sure.
How maternal she was for me. And I'll be honest, I'm honoring my mother, but the truth of the matter is she wasn't as great a mom as moms are. But anyway, so my sister really, I began to realize, you know, that how maternal she, how caring she was. And so God really touched my heart, and he said, yeah, I'm giving you this opportunity, not just to return the favor, but to learn about caring for someone you love in this circumstance, and to be me for her.
Hands and feet of Jesus.
Wow.
Because our Lord and Savior is the most sacrificial.
Turned me around, and I began to be thankful.
To be who lives in you, to be him for her.
Amen.
And David, that's a testimony to all of her kids and all the, you and your wife, like you said, you're probably looking for a life of probably slowing down because it was retirement, and you took on your sister. Yeah. That's a testimony.
It was a testimony to God's grace.
Amen. Yeah.
Power of the Holy Spirit lifting us up. And then I will also tell you that when I became thankful for that, I had renewed energy to do, because at that time, I had to pour that energy into helping her get Medicaid because we couldn't afford a nursing home and she was becoming nursing home appropriate.
Really?
So I was out there battling.
And that's no fun.
No, I'll tell you what.
I'll just say that's one of the worst things.
How long did she stay with you, David?
From February of 2018 until actually it was September the 11th. Of 2019, she went into the nursing home.
Oh, I remember that day because of 9/11. Okay,
we finally got her. It was another battle. It was 6 months later that we actually got the Medicaid that she deserved when she went in. Mm-hmm. And we put all of our money on one credit card to its max to pay for the nursing home until they came through.
But David,
but you know, by then, let me just tell you, this is the story. This is God's grace. By then, I was all in.
everything we did,
he changed your
for
heart.
Her yeah. was, let's do this. Is God in this? God, I know God's going to come through, and she's going to have better care, which was the whole point of it.
Mm.
And also along that way, I'll testify that I worked through the forgiveness I needed to have for her kids, who did zip.
The Lord lifted that
Isn't
off
that
your
good,
heart.
Though.
Yeah, they
yeah,
did
God
zip.
Does that.
But
yeah.
I've given them over to the Lord. You
this
know,
is
we've forgiven them, and we know God loves them. But anyway, that's how Thanksgiving emerges.
And as we're going into that, I just want to say that my mother-in-law is getting ready to move in with us. So
she
love
is.
Me.
Yeah.
Remember what I said.
You have an advisor here when it gets hard.
No, we love her, and we're gonna try and make everything, you know, as easy as possible for her, because the transition isn't so much for us, for me and my wife and my son. The transition is for her because she just lost her son, and she's moving down with us so that, you know, she's not alone
be
up in Lakeland to be by family.
Yeah.
So the transition, it's not about us. It's about her.
Well, we will welcome her here.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Hey, before we go, I wanted to read something that I found. It says, this is kind of a reflection on everything that we've talked about today. It says, where in your life is Jesus inviting you to give thanks?
Mm.
Not after the miracle, but for it.
Yes.
Maybe it's in a place of scarcity. Maybe it's in a place of grief.
Mm.
Maybe it's in something you can't yet understand. Jesus shows us that thanksgiving is not a reaction. It's a posture of trust.
Mm. How powerful that is.
And Jesus did that before he even broke the bread with the loaves and fish. He thanked beforehand.
Yes, he did.
You know, the Holy Spirit has taught me when I pray, I prayed for my parents before they went to Kentucky this morning, and I thanked the Lord already. Thank you that they're going to get there safely. So we thank them ahead of time is what you just said.
Because
Stephanie.
We believe.
Mm-hmm.
Because
that's great.
We believe.
Faith, isn't it?
Yeah, because we believe. The Israelites had to step out, right? Just as we do.
They had to.
Right?
You guys, a thankful Christian stands out because we live in a culture, and Keith mentioned this yesterday, we live in a culture marked by entitlement and comparison and complaint. But a believer who practices gratitude, that person stands out in a world.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we need to do. We need to stand out and be the light in the darkness.
And it may just start for you with a prayer, Lord, enable me to be thankful.
Yes.
Because I'm not able to right now.
And he can do it.
He can do it, and he will do it.
And it's every day. It's sometimes it's minute by minute.
Yeah,
you know?
It is.
I mean, there's so many things that come at us and things we cannot control. Most things we can't control. The only thing that we can truly control is the posture of our heart.
Yeah.
And so having that posture of thanksgiving is so important. And so, you know what? Thank you, Lord, for this, you know, moment that we're able to do that in this nation.
Amen.
You know, that this nation has actually made a day, which hopefully everybody can kind of take a break.
Yeah.
And thank God for who he is.
Yes.
And not just what he's doing, but how he's doing it.
Yes.
You know, we don't always look at the how. It's the what. And it's like, okay, I'm not enjoying this, so this is how I'm supposed to be thanking you. And I know that that's hard to do sometimes, but that is when you truly find out who he is when you can thank him in the hard places. I sing a song that's God wants to hear you sing when the waves are crashing around you.
Mm.
I mean, that's when he wants to hear you sing.
Yes.
Yeah, when you do that's when you hear his voice even more clear, because you're already in this place of turmoil, and he comes in just with gentleness and kindness and thanksgiving.
If you don't know him, if you don't know the Lord gives us a choice to turn our hearts to him.
Yeah.
And this is a time, you know, because he loves you so much. He loves you so much that he gives you the heart to choose him or to not choose him. And we just ask that you choose him, right? In the love that God has for you. And it says in Ephesians chapter 5:20, always giving thanks to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Wow, we've covered a lot of ground. I hope this has been a blessing to our listeners today, and that maybe tomorrow, or actually Thursday, when you gather at the table, and
Uncle Harry starts pounding on his peas because he's upset about something, you'll maybe offer a prayer. Or maybe take Uncle Harry off to the side after dinner and find out what's going on, because maybe he needs someone to talk to. But give thanks in all circumstances.
Happy and Thanksgiving, script, everybody.
Yeah,
yeah,
happy Thanksgiving.
Amen.
To
happy
our
Thanksgiving.
Audience.
We will talk to you next week.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining us. Tune in next Tuesday at 11 a.m. for another edition of A Biblical Response. If you have issues of the day you would like us to explore, email us at wcno@wcno.com. In the subject line, write David@abiblicalresponse. Remember, when you are challenged by what you see and hear going on around you, pray and invest in God's Word for guidance.